a British retailer packs up after an expensive failure in the U.S.
This podcast is supported by 23andMe DNA Kit, designed to provide over 200 personalized health reports and knowledge to make informed personal health decisions. Your DNA Kit is available at 23andMe.com/marketplace.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Britain's biggest retailer, Tesco, has just announced its first drop in profit in 20 years. And it seems the U.S. is partly to blame. Marketplace's Stephen Beer joins us live from London with the details. And Stephen, why is it our fault that your biggest retailer is not doing well?
Tesco made a disastrous foray into the US market with its Fresh and Easy grocery chain, which has proved rather stale and very difficult. The venture has lost Tesco $1.5 billion, and the company is now spending a further $1.75 billion pulling out of the business. What went wrong? American marketing analyst Alison Stewart Allen says Tesco fatally misunderstood American culture. She told the BBC that Tesco sold low-cost products that looked cheap.
We're a very aspirational culture. So we're actually wanting a supermarket that says you may be on a tight budget, but you can still afford some of the finer things in life.
And that misunderstanding cost Tesco a bundle.
But how could they have had such a misunderstanding, Stephen? I mean, they're not the first foreign company to try to make it in America.
On their own admission, Tesco thought it would be a bit of a breeze. It would be like setting up shop in Britain. After all, we speak the same language. We're familiar with American brands over here. This was a fatal mistake. Tesco should have regarded the US as another foreign market and a very competitive one. The US has proved a graveyard for British retailers who've made similar mistakes, among them Sainsbury's and Marks and Spencer, who also tried and failed to break into the U.S.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in global trading this morning, down 0.5% in Hong Kong, 1.3% lower right now in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 157 points to close at 14,756. Well, if U.S. consumers are skeptical about a British supermarket chain, Chinese consumers are getting very skeptical about their food supply. A month ago, there were thousands of dead pigs floating in a river in Shanghai, and now there is a deadly strain of bird flu. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz has the story.
Spring in Niuchong Village is marked with bright yellow fields of rapeseed blossoms. Life abounds. But inside the homes here, it's a different story. 42-year-old Zhang Runxiang is dying of cervical cancer. Her mother sits beside her in bed. She's all I have left, says Zhang's mother. Zhang's husband, Zhou Yuansheng, blames his wife's cancer on Dashan Chemical Company's phosphate mining operation and fertilizer factory in the village.
Ever since they started mining, our drinking water is full of sludge. Now many people here have cancer. All kinds of cancer.
China produces nearly half of the world's phosphate fertilizer. It's left the country with 300 million tons of a byproduct called phosphogypsum. It contains cancer-causing chemicals like arsenic. Dashan Chemical Company has left a mountain of phosphogypsum above the river in Niuchong Village. Farmer Yao Chengying says the runoff from this heap, combined with the emissions from Dashan's fertilizer factory, have poisoned the village's crops.
The crops just died. The watermelons were inedible. Even the pigs wouldn't eat them.
Yao's piglets were born with deformed bodies. Her other pigs slowly died off. Villagers say Niuchong's rice became famous throughout the region for being poisonous, but that didn't stop purchasers from buying what they could and selling it into China's food supply. So here in Niuchong, the battle for safer food in China has begun with those who grow it.
Each week for the last 2 years, all of us farmers have protested at the factory gates. We've also gone to Beijing to petition higher authorities.
In the fall, local police threw two of the protesting farmers in prison. Neither Dashan Chemical nor local officials agreed to an interview with Marketplace. Zeng Xiangbing is an environmental lawyer in the nearby city of Wuhan who's defending the two imprisoned men.
China's economic growth for the past 30 years relies on destroying our natural resources, and government officials have no idea how bad it's become.
To get an idea, they could visit Niuchong Village, where Zhou Yuansheng's wife is in her last days of battling cancer. My teenage son dropped out of school to work in a factory so that we could afford her chemotherapy, says Zhou. But 2 days later, Zhang Yuansheng died, the latest casualty of China's unregulated pollution, poisoned at the source of the country's food supply. In Niuchong Village, Hubei Province, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
This podcast is supported by 23andMe, a personal DNA kit so individuals can better understand how their genes impact health, which means individuals and their doctors find health areas to keep an eye on. 23andMe also gives ancestry information and helps discover global origins or perhaps find relatives. Available today at 23andMe.com/marketplace. That's the number 23andMe.com/marketplace.
We'll get earnings next week from Apple, which is under pressure from phone-making competitors like Samsung. But as Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, Apple is also feeling the heat in music sales.
Amazon snapped up 22% of the music download market in the last quarter of last year. That's according to the NPD Group's annual music study. NPD's Russ Krupnik says Amazon has long had a thriving CD business.
And as those same people have adopted digital downloads, you know, oftentimes their loyalty to Amazon has stuck.
Loyalty to Apple is slipping. iTunes share fell to 63% from 68% the year before. And both Apple and Amazon have to worry about guys like this.
I would say 99% of my music comes from Pandora One.
24-year-old Fletcher Price pays $36 a month to stream music without actually owning any of it on Pandora. Or he borrows his fiancé's Spotify account. That streaming service announced plans this week to expand into Asia and Latin America. Still, Price says sometimes you've just got to own a song, even this one.
Open Gangnam Style.
He bought it on iTunes. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Well, where do you go to buy or listen to music? iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, maybe the old-fashioned record store? Let us know right now. We've got a poll up at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.